Still on the names of God, and I'm not going to, you'll be delighted to know, I'm only going to preach for about maybe 60 to 90 minutes this morning, so just make yourself relaxed and... No, I'm only going to preach for maybe 10 or 15 minutes this morning because I just thought I'd just share a few simple things to encourage us this morning because in many ways we're very familiar with the concept of Jesus or Jehovah of God as shepherd. And I don't know if any of you are aware of this, but we do actually have a real life shepherd in our church. Did you know that? Mr. Doyle, Mr. Peter Doyle used to be a shepherd in New Zealand and used to look after sheep, and unfortunately he's not here, else I would have got him to get up and share a few insights on the inner workings of being a shepherd. But you know, we still have shepherds today. It's a real life thing. People still need to look after their livestock, and so all throughout the scripture there is a lot of references to the shepherd and being sheep and so on. But the first reference to God as shepherd goes back to Genesis 48:15, and I think we've got some scriptures up there on the screen. And then Jacob blessed Joseph and said, God himself, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac lived and walked habitually, God himself who has been my shepherd and has led and fed me from the time I came into being until this day. That's the first time, way back in Genesis, we hear about God as shepherd. And what's interesting about that is at the end of the Joseph story. So that's when Joseph has got together, has revealed himself to his brothers. They have gone and told Jacob, who thought this favorite son of his was dead and gone, and he's now seen his son again. And, you know, for those of you who know a bit about the story of Jacob, it's a bit of an up and down story. You know, he did some things that he probably shouldn't have done, but yet all throughout that, God kept him. And God spoke to him and God showed him things about his nature and his personality. So at the very end of his life, Jacob could say that God has been my shepherd and has led and fed me from the time I came into being until this day. And some of us are further down the Christian path than others, and some of us are further down life's journey than others. And, you know, but all the way through, we can sense and we can know in a real way God leading us and feeding us. And the other good thing about it, the interesting thing about that is that Jacob knew a lot about sheep because he had a lot of sheep. He was wealthy because of his livestock. He had a lot of sheep. So he knew what it was to be a shepherd. He knew what that actually meant in reality on the ground. So when he could turn around and talk about God being his shepherd, he knew exactly what that meant. And when he would say that to people, God's been my shepherd, that would have a resonance with them. They would know straight away. The first time we hear in the scriptures, Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd, actually that being given as a name to God, is in Psalm 23. And we're so familiar with Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me delight. Do you know what we're going to do, actually, folks? Instead of me reading it out, we're going to read it together. Can we do that? Because this is such a well-known scripture. Let's just read it together. Okay, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's class, isn't it, folks? We know that. We've said it so many times. We've read it so many times. We know that psalm so well. But to me, every time I read it, it really feels fresh to me. There's some fresh revelation of how God is my shepherd, of how God leads me and keeps me and feeds me and looks after me. And in about a month's time, I'm going to be talking about Jehovah Jireh, God my provider. And this psalm also talks about Jehovah Jireh. And the two concepts are very much interlinked, the shepherd and the provider. Now, I've got three very simple points this morning. And it's really around, what are sheep like? Now, in the animal kingdom, sheep would not be considered up there in intelligence with German shepherds and pigs, actually. Apparently pigs are very, very intelligent. Sheep are definitely down the food chain when it comes to brains. There's three things about sheep. First of all, they're directionless. They've no sense of where their home is. So they always need somebody to show them the way home. Secondly, they're pretty ignorant about self-preservation, which is why they have a shepherd. And it's why shepherds had to stay with their sheep in the ancient world to keep them safe, because sheep don't necessarily understand about danger. And that's the third thing. They don't have a great sense of danger. So they don't know where they're going. They don't know how to look after themselves. And they don't know what to look out for. So the shepherd has a threefold task. First of all, the shepherd has to lead his sheep. In Isaiah 53, it says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all." And that's, to, in a sense, before we come and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, until we actually have that experience of him living and inhabiting inside of us, we're like those sheep that don't really know where we're going, and we don't really understand what's happening to us. And we've all kind of gone off in our own direction. But the great thing is, then we look in John, and there's a lot of scriptures this morning, but I'm really just kind of throwing these out here to kind of just get people thinking. John 10:11, it says, "I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And in the Isaiah, the word in Isaiah, that prophecy, we have a foretelling of what Jesus is actually going to do. That Jesus' death on the cross, that he took all our sin, all our iniquity, all our shame, he took that on the cross so that we didn't have to be directionless anymore, that we didn't have to have a sense of purposelessness, that we didn't have to have a sense of being lost, that we could be found and we could be found in him. So the good shepherd, Jesus, laid down his life for us on the cross, for us, the sheep. And then the great thing is, when we look in 1 Peter, it says, we were like sheep going astray. So that's the way we were. But now we've returned to the shepherd and overseer in our souls. That's the fantastic thing, folks. When we come together this morning, we are reminding ourselves that we have been found in Christ, that we are no longer directionless, that God is our shepherd, and that he keeps us and preserves us. And he's with us every step of the way. And we have returned to the shepherd. So we're no longer without direction. We have been found. The great thing about that is, it's not just a once only offer. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be led in all things. And with sheep, they have to be led everywhere. And sometimes, as human beings, we don't really like being led. We're very much of the opinion, do you know what? Don't you be telling me what to do. I know where I'm going. I'm perfectly capable. I don't need anybody. I didn't get to where I am today without people, you know, with you telling me what to do. And we can really rebel in the natural world against being led. And we can kick against that. And we can have a real rebellion. And the problem is, we can bring that rebellious nature into our relationship with the Lord. So we can say, do you know what, God? If I have to decide something massive, if I'm really in a pickle and I don't know what to do, then I'll come and ask you. But the problem is, if we do that, if we leave it to the really big things, the problem is that actually we don't really have much expectation that God's going to do it, because up until this point we've kind of done it all on our own, so I'm not sure he's going to actually be able to manage the big stuff. So what I really want to encourage you to think about this morning is about letting God lead you in the small things as well. Oh, we seem to have lost our feed there. Get him to lead you in the small things as well. If we go back to that, we were like sheep, but we've returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. So the small things. Start, if you're having trouble being led by the Spirit and the big stuff, start with the really small things. I might have told you this story before, but about 2 years ago, it was coming into about September, October, and I just knew that I really needed a new winter coat. And I thought to myself, it seems like a small thing, but you know what, I'm just going to pray and I'm just going to ask God for a winter coat, because I can't really afford one myself. So, Father, you know that I need a winter coat. So the next month I was going over to visit some friends in London, and we wanted to go down to Camden Lock Market. So before I'd gone on holiday, I'd been really praying about this winter coat. And that morning I just said, Father, you know what I need. You know what I need, so I'm leaving it in your hands. So anyway, we went down to Camden Market, and I don't know if any of you have been there, but it's sort of a lot of outdoor stalls, and there's all this stuff everywhere, and you know, there's these guys shouting at you, come and buy this and come and buy that. Anyway, they went down this row, and there was lots of lovely coats, so I tried on this one. And for any of the ladies that are here, you've heard of Desigual, the Spanish make, and it's really, they're really nice. And that would have been my dream coat, was a Desigual, you see, but that was way beyond my price range. So we're going, I'm looking in the market, and I saw this coat, and it looked just like a Desigual. So I tried it on, and it looked really nice, and it was all the gorgeous kind of like patchworky type thing. And the guy says to me, that's £45. Now, as you'll know, I used to live in Africa, so bartering is actually no problem to me now. So the first thing I said, is that the best you can do? Is that the best price you've got? He says, well, I can do it for about 40. Maybe I can do it for about 40. And I went, right, that's lovely. Thanks very much. And I'll maybe come back to you. So I went down to, and a couple of stalls down there was the same coat in exactly my size. So I says to the guy, there's a fella up there. He can do that for £40. What's the best that you can do? And he said, I could go to 35. But you're killing me here. And I went, that's lovely. Thank you very much. So I went back to the first stall and I said to the guy, now that fella down there is doing it for 35. What's the best you can do? He says, I'll give it to you for 30. I says, done. Now, I think if it kept going, he would have been paying me to take the coat away. But what the reason why I tell you that story is, for £30, which was the budget that I had, which was the money that I had in my purse that day, for £30, I got a coat that for the next 2 years, every time I put it on, people would go, is that a Desigual? And I would go, for a moment, I would think, I'm going to lie, and then think, no, I got it in Camden Market. And I was so proud of that. But that, to me, was a real demonstration of God's provision. It was a small thing. But you see, trusting God for that small thing and seeing him come through in that very simple way has helped me to trust him for bigger things in my life. And so by bringing every decision to that shepherd, be it, am I going to put an extension on my house? Am I going to take that new job? Am I going to get involved in that, new adventure that I'm thinking of, that course that I'm thinking of doing, that, just whatever it is, just bring the small things all the time, because Jesus is interested in everything. God's interested in everything in your life. He's not just interested in the big things. He wants to be part of everything. And the great thing about God is that nothing is little to God, and nothing is big to God, because God is God. And I think sometimes we think there's like a hierarchy of things that, we have to pray really hard about a big decision, because unless we pray really, really hard, God's not really going to intervene. And it's almost like we're trying to get his attention and tugging. As children, whenever your mum was having a conversation with somebody else in a shop and you were really bored and you really wanted, she had promised that she was going to buy you some sweets, and like time was just not moving fast enough. And you're going, Mom, Mom, Mom. And sometimes I think we think like that with God. We sort of go, God, God, God. And we think only if we do that is he actually going to pay attention. God's paying attention all the time. It's us sometimes that aren't actually hearing what he's saying. So start trusting God for the small things. Try it. Try it out. See if you haven't got much money in your pocket when you go to the supermarket and you know what it is that you want. Just pray. And you never know. You'll go and maybe everything you need will be marked down to half price. Secondly, a shepherd has to feed his sheep. He has to make sure that he puts them in the right place to get what they need. In Revelation 7:17, it says, "For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." But God will lead them to springs of living water. God provides for all our needs. Like I shared you that little simple story about the coat. But that's for everything in our lives. God is providing for all our needs. And like I said, I'm going to be talking in more detail about this in a few weeks' time when we talk about Jehovah Jireh and what that actually means to us in our lives. But the Lamb at the center of the throne, Jesus is right at the center of heaven. Right at the very epicenter on the throne. So somebody with that much power and that much authority is our shepherd. And he is leading us to springs of living water. It's not something that's finite. It's infinite. In Isaiah 40:11, it says, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." So he's right there holding us really close. He's feeding us spiritually, feeding us physically, feeding us emotionally. If you have a need this morning, be it a physical need, be it a need for healing, being a need for comfort, being a need for support, Jesus is interested in every single one of those needs. But the thing is that you have to remind yourselves, and I want to remind you this morning, that he has the authority to provide all those needs because he's sitting on the throne. And through his authority, we have authority. It's not our authority. It's not through anything we've done. It's through the authority that we have through our relationship in Christ. And the final thing is, a shepherd protects his sheep. Romans 8:38-39. This is such a well-known couple of scriptures that we say so often, and sometimes I'm not sure we actually believe it to be true. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That is so exciting. There is nothing that can happen to us in our life. No disaster, no sickness, no situation that can separate us from God's love. Nothing that we've done or are likely to do or are planning to do or can't even believe that we would do. None of those things can separate us from the love of Christ. And sometimes we think that we do something and that puts us just outside of that boundary, just outside of that parameter of God's love. And it's almost like, you know, there's like a big circle and you're in and you're out. And it's like, you know, we're doing the, you know, put the left foot in, put the left foot out, in, out, shake it all about. And sometimes we think, oh, I'm in the will of God. Yes, that's great. He loves me. Oh, that's brilliant. Oh, I've done something wrong. Oh, I'm outside again. Oh, dear. Oh, I'm going to step back in. Yeah, that's great. Everything's going brilliantly. Yes, yeah, it's fantastic. You know, I'm seeing God's provision, God's blessing. Oh, I'm out again. That's not the way it works, folks. God's not capricious. God's not a God who is waiting for us to fail. God is a God who's doing everything to guarantee our success. And he knows the end from the beginning. And we don't see that. And so we often feel in the middle of a difficult situation, you know what, God doesn't love me anymore because I'm going through this tough time, whatever it is. So he doesn't really love me as much as he loves this other person who seems to be getting everything going so well for them. That's not it at all. In every situation, God is right in the epicenter of it, standing beside us, being there for us, being our cheerleader, and reminding us this is not the end. This is not the whole picture. In Zechariah 9:16, it says, "The Lord their God will save his people on that day as a shepherd saves his flock. They will sparkle in his land like jewels in a crown." And that's really all that I just want to remind you of this morning, is that the Lord our God loves you and will save you like a shepherd saves his flock. And you are sparkling like jewels in a crown. Now, you might not feel very sparkly this morning for all sorts of reasons. But when God looks at you, he sees Jesus all over you. When he looks at you, all he sees is that you sparkle like a jewel in a crown. And those days when you feel a wee bit tarnished, just remind yourself of that scripture. When you feel a wee bit dull, when you feel a wee bit under par, just remind yourself of God, of Jehovah Rohi, the Lord your shepherd, who leads you, who feeds you, and who protects you. And there's nothing's ever going to change that, folks. Nothing's ever going to change that. Let's pray. You're a good, good father.